WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King. Representatives from the Writers Guild and Hollywood Studios are expected to resume negotiations in a few hours. The writers want higher pay and protections from artificial intelligence. Writer Arianna Wright says the four-month walkout has been tough.
It's hard. I hear people saying it's hard. We are tired. People need money. People are really, really struggling. But everybody understands that we have to be in this fight until we actually get a fair deal, because that's what's actually going to make a future for all of us.
Still no movement on the auto workers' strike. CBS's Chris Van Cleve is in Detroit.
None of the automakers has presented a cohesive new deal. Instead, it appears that they are trying to talk issue by issue, trying to find places where there is agreement and use that as a foundation.
Ford says it has an agreement with workers in Canada to avert a strike there. President Biden meets with two of his counterparts at the UN General Assembly today. Here's CBS's Linda Kenyon.
The president will hold separate meetings with the Israeli prime minister and the president of Brazil. The discussions follow Mr. Biden's address before the UN General Assembly, where he discussed the climate crisis, Russia's war against Ukraine, and building a more stable and peaceful Middle East. He will continue that theme with Benjamin Netanyahu, despite admitted discomfort over Israel's controversial judicial overhaul.
Hunter Biden's attorneys have asked that he be allowed to enter his plea by video conference because of security and other issues. CBS's Chanel Call.
In court documents, lawyers say President Biden's son will plead not guilty to federal arms charges. Hunter Biden was indicted after a plea deal in a long-running investigation collapsed weeks ago. He is accused of lying about his drug use when he bought a firearm back in 2018.
King Charles is in France. Here's CBS's Vicky Barker.
The three-day state visit finally happening 6 months after rioting and strikes in Paris forced its last-minute postponement. Then King Charles and Queen Camilla will attend a grand banquet in the Palace of Versailles and visit Paris and Bordeaux.
This morning we say farewell to a member of the CBS News radio family. Michael Friedman has died of pancreatic cancer. Mike wasn't somebody you heard on the air. He was our boss from 1998 to 2000. During his tenure, he did his best to uphold the traditions of CBS News while dealing with a media environment that was changing quickly. On a personal note, if it weren't for Mike, I might not be anchoring this newscast. Mike was the executive producer for TV's Kalb Report, president of the National Press Club, and taught at George Washington and the University of Maryland. We remember him for many things, including his passion and kindness. Mike Friedman was 71. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat 988 to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. 988, here to support you. Sponsored by Wisconsin DHS.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of love funky fresh spring rolls, my friend Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, the fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I'm a cereal strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Wednesday, September 20th. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, the Civic Media app, by podcast, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. We're glad to have you here in the state of Wiscommon Sense for the next couple of hours where we will unpack the news from our home base right here at 93.5 The Tap in Chippewa Falls and all across Civic Media land. Here's what's on tap this morning. Ron Johnson helping to pour a little gas on the fire. Ron Johnson is in the center of the push by right-wing extremists to force a government shutdown by single-handedly blocking essential spending measures so that it's easier to demand huge budget cuts that would hurt Americans who don't share in his multimillionaire status. Our climate check this week looks at how higher education research in Wisconsin could help turn the climate crisis into solutions and into opportunities if only a certain group of politicians weren't so focused on tearing down the UW system and public education overall. We'll visit with Melissa Kay from locally grown radio, WFHR, in Wisconsin Rapids during today's history lesson and music break. Then in our second hour, we'll talk about National Voter Registration Day. Technically, it was yesterday, but the whole week is filled with activities designed to support one of the most nonpartisan acts of civic engagement out there, registering to vote. We're going to talk to people from two different groups spending this week helping people check their status, get registered, and save themselves from confusion or chaos in 2024. We're also going to have the weather forecast from Weatherology. Meteorologist Jennifer Vucicki should join us. Todd Alba would be along as well to talk about what's on his afternoon show coming up a little later today. And you, if you'd like to be a part of it, 844-967-2789 is the phone number and the text line, 844-967-2789, or email us radio at upnorthnewswi.com, or again, call or text us through the Civic Media app, or put a comment on one of the Facebook pages where we run the live video feed of this show. We do it on the Up North News Facebook page. Just look for Up North News WI. The Civic Media Facebook page, the page for 93.5, look up the Tap FM on Facebook, and you'll get that little Chippewa Falls blowtorch, and Bull Falls Radio out of Wausau. So plenty of places to catch us, as I already mentioned. We'll tell you more about what Up North News is working on today. First, a quick moment to check in with Sam Davison down in Madison at the Civic Media Control Center with good news. Proof of life from Aaron Zommers, correct?
He's alive.
But you don't have any bear hunting stories, though, from him?
No, I didn't get a chance to talk to him about how his weekend went yesterday.
Okay, but no claw marks?
No, he looked anything in perfect shape, which is good.
Okay, All right. Well, good. And he wasn't wearing like a bearskin rug, you know, cape or something like that.
No, I did tell him it would be funny if he just like walked in wearing a cloak that was a whole bearskin rug, though.
That would be so awesome. Even if he just went down to Goodwill and found something like that.
Yeah.
That would be extremely cool. Okay. But he's alive. So we've solved that mystery. And eventually, maybe we'll get the full story. Of course, he'd have to come into work now a little early compared to his new shift. But we'll work on that, because you can't just say goodbye and leave us hanging like that.
I know. He was such a big part of the show.
I know. It just wouldn't be right. So, all right. We'll see about that. We've got 6 a.m. temperatures from across Wisconsin. They include 55 degrees here on Lake Wissota. Madison's at 57. Folks listening to the Shaw in Waukesha, you're at 55. La Crosse, 57. Wausau, 57. Wisconsin Rapids, 54. Green Bay, 58. And folks in Hayward listening to Buzz of the North, you're at 59 degrees right now. And again, full details on your local forecast coming up in just a bit. You can get our daily newsletter through upnorthnewswi.com. Sign up for the newsletter there. Among the stories that we have in this morning's edition, we have the food site Mashed is talking about where to find the best frozen custard in America. And there are 3 locations in Wisconsin that are on that. That, I think, is more of a southeastern, maybe central and eastern Wisconsin thing. You won't find so much for frozen custard up in the northwestern part of the state. Not to say it's not there at all, but I mean, it's especially big in the southeast, and there are 3 locations there. The Packers also have a new official pizza with some unusual flavors to them. Let me run these by Sam real quick here, because the new official Packer pizza is by Brew Pub Pizza. They're the people who make lots of matzah, which is far and away my favorite. I don't know if you've ever had lots of matzah.
I have. Lots of matzah is pretty good.
Oh, so good. So that's made by Bernatello's under their Brew Pub line. But these new official Packers pizzas, there's 4 of them here. There's a Philly-style cheesesteak pizza.
Mm.
There's barbecued smoked chicken. There's the Pick 6, which is a 6-meat pizza. Mm. And then there's the Kicker, which is a jalapeno popper pizza.
Ooh, I'm not really a fan of jalapeno poppers. I don't know if I'd like that one.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't mean to sound old. I'm just basic. Pepperoni, sausage, you know, mushrooms.
I do like a good plain old pepperoni pizza.
Mm-hmm. And again, like I said, we tend to have that through lots of matzah anyway, so we already know the product works, but now the Packers think so and have made it their official pizza. So we've really got on the newsletter today, we hit on a couple of, there's some news in there as well, but in terms of the features that are in there, we got pizza and we got frozen custard. Hey, we're going to unpack the news coming up next, talk especially about priorities on either avoiding a government shutdown or not. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this very nice Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number 2 ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
We are remembering Jim Croce today.
Like the pine trees lining the winding road, I've got a name. I've got a name.
The singer-songwriter who had brief fame and so much potential was lost this day in 1973, along with five others, when their light aircraft crashed on takeoff in Louisiana. We'll hear a few more of Jim Croce's hits coming up. In sports at just about 6:16, William Contreras homered, and Tyrone Taylor drove in a run and scored twice as the Brewers beat the Cardinals 7-3 last night. The Brewers opened up the fourth inning with four straight doubles to give Milwaukee a 5-2 lead, and they held on from there. It stopped a two-game skid and reduced the Brewers' magic number to clinch the National League Central Division to 6. The Brewers hold a 6-game lead over the Chicago Cubs with 11 games left to play. The win was number 700 for Craig Counsell, who is in his 9th season as Brewers manager. With 700, he has the most wins. He also has the most games managed in franchise history at 1,321. Adrian Hauser will start tonight for the Brewers in St. Louis, and you can hear that game throughout the Fox Valley on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 and 1100 AM, or in the Richland Center area, WRCE News from the Center at 107.7 FM and 1450 AM. All right, let's unpack the news. As always, if you'd like to jump in on the conversation, it's 844-967-2789. I'm going to spend most of the time in this segment talking about the looming government shutdown. But before I get there, I want to call attention to something happening up north, something that should be rather troubling. I started getting notes from people up in the Bayfield County area that in the town of Iron River, there was this move afoot by conservatives to engage in book banning, which we know has been on the rise. And it's been on the rise with some pretty straightforward, hateful basis about, you know, the folks who are in the LGBTQ community. And, you know, what that these that books that are mentioning or supportive of LGBTQ issues or meant there to be there as a show of support and education, that these kinds of materials, in their view, are obscene, and therefore they have dictated that they should be banned. And there was word going around that even though the library was holding firm on, you know, the standards that it sets for books, that there might be some changes afoot up in Iron River. Well, the town board there met yesterday, and according to social media posts, multiple posts from people, the discussion was basically about the composition of the library board. There was fear that the town board was going to do something drastic to all the library board members or even the library itself. And while that didn't happen outright, it does look like a couple of library board people may be replaced. And so it's one of those things that we'll have to keep an eye on in that community, along with many others, to, you know, see if a book ban is in the works there. In looking at this, I came upon an op-ed in the Badger Herald. Jack Rogers is the author's name, and the headline is, "Book Bans Marginalize LGBTQ Youth. These efforts deny queer individuals of their identity." And he gives a little background on Iron River, because this has been in the works for a while here. But I just wanted to share his words on this, that book bans send a signal to marginalized individuals that their identity is not only unimportant, but so obscene that it deserves no place on shelves in public library. "It's no secret that queerness is under attack in Wisconsin," he writes. from anti-LGBTQ bills in the state legislature that would restrict transgender student athletes, to Iron River's attempt to purge quote-unquote gender ideology from its public library. The massive wave of hate should serve as a wake-up call to all Wisconsinites. Neither religious differences of opinion nor rigid traditional values legitimize pushing communities further and further to the margins of society. Again, that's Jack Rogers writing in the Badger Herald about the debate over banning books because you don't happen to like the lifestyle. All right, let's talk about what's happening in Congress. And when I call it a clown show, you no longer have to take my word for it. That's the phrase used by one of many Republicans who are upset with the people on the extreme right flank of their party who are basically rooting for a government shutdown. They really think they're going to get these massive cuts that will hurt Americans put into place, even though they barely control the House. They don't control the Senate. They don't control the White House. And they're nowhere near the mainstream of public opinion. And yet they feel like if they strap enough dynamite to their chest and threaten to blow everybody up, that everybody will just cave in to their whims. But like I said, even fellow Republicans don't think so. Congressman Mike Lawler, a Republican from New York, represents one of those many districts that have Republican members of Congress, but President Biden won those districts in 2020. And he put it rather bluntly. He said, quote, "This is not conservative Republicanism. This is stupidity. These people can't define a win. They don't know how to take yes for an answer. It's a clown show." His words. Senator Mitch McConnell, no friend to Democrats or moderates, but he's been around long enough to know that he knows what he's talking about when he says shutdowns have always been, quote, "a loser for Republicans." And that's a fact. Republicans have never come out the other side of a budget showdown smelling like roses. Instead, they look like they want to take all of our tax dollars and try that trickle-down economics theory again with massive tax cuts while looking for huge budget cuts for working families who pay taxes. Those divisions among Republicans in the House really erupted right on the House floor yesterday when a handful of far-right conservatives blocked a Pentagon spending bill from coming up for debate. The one thing Republicans will always tell you is, well, you can cut benefits for poor children, but don't you dare, you know, hurt the military. Well, now you've got Senator Tommy Tuberville holding up all of these military appointments, and now you've got conservatives in the House blocking a Pentagon spending bill from even coming up for debate. It was an embarrassing public setback for House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, who's trying to avoid a government shutdown, because, again, he knows Republicans always lose on these things. But at least five Republicans continue to stand in the way, and with only a five-seat majority, that gums up all the works. You would think that maybe there's a bit more common sense from Senate Republicans who could talk to their House Republican colleagues, but Ron Johnson's involved. Ron Johnson is single-handedly blocking a measure, blocking a routine procedural vote on a package of spending bills that would fund the Department of Agriculture, Department of Tourism, military construction, and the Department of Veteran Affairs. Ron Johnson is single-handedly holding up a vote on a spending bill for the Department of Veterans Affairs. He's working in tandem with the extreme members of the House Republican Caucus. Johnson is insisting that every individual spending bill be voted on separately. And while that might sound good in a textbook, it doesn't work in the real world, where sometimes things have to be bundled so that everybody can get a little bit of something they want and have to accept a little bit of something they don't want. That's the whole basis behind the Farm Bill, is making sure that a broad constituency of folks are able to benefit and that no one group is marginalized simply because they're not as extreme and loud as the others. And as other members of Congress pointed out, Ron Johnson wants these individual spending bills. What's going to happen instead is they're all going to get bundled together in one giant bill, one giant must-pass bill,
and then Republicans or conservatives will get none of what they want. But Republicans on the House Budget Committee yesterday introduced a new budget plan. Give them that. At least they are now, instead of just hinting at massive cuts and not specifying them, they are now specifying that they want trillions of dollars in cuts. And they include SNAP food benefits, WIC food benefits for women, infants, and children, people who are on Medicaid. And it's all based on a lie. From the very beginning of their report yesterday, they call for changes, quote, to the drivers of U.S. debt, such as Social Security and Medicare, end quote. But again, Social Security does not, in fact, contribute to long-term federal deficits. It does not. How can we trust you to govern if you refuse to do basic learning about what it is you do and how the federal budget works? But not knowing the facts has never gotten in the way of a good bill to slash help for families. The cuts would probably raise the cost of living for a lot of these families when the cost of living is already high. According to PBS, last year, the WIC program served more than 6 million people a month, including more than a third of the nation's infants, and participation continues to rise. Before the pandemic, WIC gave women and children $9 to $11 a month to purchase fruits and vegetables. During the pandemic, Congress increased that amount to about $45 a month, and children get $25 a month. The Republican proposal would claw all of that back. It would gash federal Medicaid spending by about $2 trillion, cut SNAP, what you might call food stamps, by $800 billion, add punitive new work requirements for Medicaid, even though, again, the evidence proves all the time that a substantial number of Medicaid beneficiaries actually do work, but they're working for such low wages or have conditions as such that they qualify for these benefits. Republicans this year have already single-handedly plunged more American children into poverty this year. They've doubled the child poverty rate. Just a year ago, child poverty hit a historic low of 5.2%. The latest figure, 12.4, more than double. That's because in 2021, Congress increased the amount of the child tax credit as part of the American Rescue Plan, and child poverty numbers plunged. In other words, it worked. Now, while some people are saying, oh, these are people who are just sitting on the couch collecting government money. No, these are people that were working, but again, struggling. Remember, minimum wage hasn't been raised in over a decade, and you've got a Congress that is decidedly on the side of employers. So these employees at least get a better child tax credit. It worked. It lifted children out of poverty. The Republicans saw how it was working to keep children out of poverty, and their answer was, nope, pull it back. And they did. And now we've more than doubled the child poverty rate in this country. They want a work requirement for Medicaid beneficiaries. I would simply ask that there is a work requirement for Congress. Do real work. If government shuts down, you get no pay. And can we find a way to actually put a penalty on that to claw back some of what you've already earned for doing next to nothing? When we come back, we'll do our weekly climate check with Melissa Baldoff. We will talk about the role of higher education in fighting a changing climate and growing our economy. If only some folks will support education in Wisconsin. Back after this, you're up north.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Hollywood Studios and the Writers Guild are set to resume talks this morning. KCBS-TV's Tina Patel says while the writers have shown great solidarity during the walkout, many are hurting.
One strike captain told us that even though it has been a long 4 months, she hasn't talked to anyone who's willing to give in and take a bad deal just to get back to work.
With no movement on the autoworkers dispute, the UAW is threatening to expand its walkout. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
We understand that negotiations, conversations are continuing between the Big Three and the UAW. However, at this point, none of the automakers has presented a cohesive new deal.
They'll be talking about climate change at the UN General Assembly today. President Biden spoke to leaders about that and other issues last night.
We need to continue tackling the challenges that most affect people's lives, from conflict to climate change to corruption and beyond.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars, because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
Welcome back to Up North News Radio for this week's Climate Check. Melissa Baldoff joins us, where we look at things that are new or trending in the era of our changing climate, and ways that we can do more to prepare or to mitigate or to inform. Melissa, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, we're going to focus today on education, specifically higher education, universities and tech colleges, and talk about how they are, as you put it, driving forces when it comes to mitigating climate change, which would be really great if we enjoyed widespread support for higher education, but right within our own state capital, we don't really have that. So we'll get into that a little bit later on. But can we first start with, you know, between workforce training and research and everything, how is it that universities and tech colleges are our real gateways to a better future with a changing climate.
Yeah, I think one of the things that to me is, you know, such a bright spot when we think about the opportunity related to addressing the climate change. Obviously, the climate crisis is serious, but there are some bright spots when we think about what's going to come from actually making those investments and making those changes to help mitigate the, you know, the negative effects of climate. We have obviously, an improved environment, cleaner air, cleaner water, but we get to have all of these, you know, new innovative fields of study and opportunities for workforce development. And you see that so much with our technical colleges, who have always been an incredible partner to, you know, our friends in organized labor, to businesses as they train workers for these jobs. And really, when you think about the opportunity for apprenticeship programs, when you think about the opportunity for educating people, training them, teaching them to be in new kinds of jobs, you know, you think about people who are maybe concerned, oh, you know, if we're closing down these, you know, coal-fired plants, what does that mean? Well, it means there's an opportunity for people who have worked in those kinds of facilities to learn a new trade, to learn how to do a new job that will support the clean energy economy. And these are really good paying jobs. And many of them, you know, don't require, you know, a four-year college degree. You know, you can have young people come right out of high school and start at a technical college in an apprenticeship program where they are going to be, after 2 years, not only will they not have any debt, they are going to be working in a field where they're making a good wage, and able to really contribute to that clean energy economy. So I think it's so important that we, you know, when we talk about the opportunities when it comes to our clean energy economy, to be thinking about the role that our technical colleges and universities play in Wisconsin. And we have such a, you know, a proud history of excellence in our technical college system and in the University of Wisconsin system, you know, so we have a lot of talent, and historically those institutions have been something that everyone wanted to invest in. And unfortunately, as you mentioned, we're not seeing that kind of investment at the level we should from Republicans in the legislature.
Yeah. And I've got a couple of specific things to say about that in just a second, but just based on your overview, it really seems to be that higher education, you know, has a few different purposes. There is the underlying foundation, you know, the humanities, the arts, you know, things like that. But no matter what the generation, there are always ways that higher education is looking forward to taking care of opportunities. When I was very, very young, you could say it was built around the space race. You know, the space race fueled mm-hmm. all kinds of innovation and research and products that didn't get used on the moon, but get used in everyday life. We don't have that kind of an Apollo program now, and we're not, thankfully, you know, still trying to make, you know, like Oppenheimer, you know, the next generation of nuclear weapons. We do have a very serious threat with a changing climate, but it does bring with it that opportunity for research and development and learning in all kinds of areas, from earth sciences to manufacturing to engineering. So yeah, Wisconsin institutions can play that leading role. But unfortunately, like you said, if we've got an entire political class that seems to be dedicated to attacking educational institutions, from public schools up to the UW system, and trying to monkey with, you know, the way that the technical college system, you know, raises its taxes locally. These are real impediments to keeping Wisconsin in the forefront of, you know, climate change mitigation and research, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, these innovations are going to happen. And I think that most of us want to make sure that Wisconsin isn't left behind. If our researchers, and I know that we have some of the best and brightest researchers around in the UW system. And if they don't have the opportunities to do the research, to have the, you know, be a part of the kind of innovative technology that the economy of the future needs, that work is going to happen elsewhere. It's going to happen outside of Wisconsin. We are going to lose our, you know, ability to attract the best and brightest to do that work if it's not going to be supported here. And they're going to go and, you know, be able to develop research for to support the clean energy economy in Michigan or Minnesota. And same thing when you think about our technical colleges, if they don't have the resources to run these kinds of workforce training programs and apprenticeship programs that people are looking for, you know, someone who wants to get a job, you know, in, you know, the solar installation field or in, you know, manufacturing parts for EVs, they're going to go somewhere else. They're going to go out of Wisconsin to be able to find a training program that will get them a job in the field that they're interested in. So it's incredibly important that we are putting in, not just for this, obviously for, you know, writ large, we want to be investing in our institutions of higher education. But when it comes to climate, you know, this is something that we really need to make sure is a priority.
The changing climate, it basically permeates everything. I mean, there's nothing that is a field of study that doesn't feel some kind of an impact and or some kind of opportunity. But specifically talking about things like the College of Engineering at UW-Madison, where you had the greater Wisconsin business community all behind this large expansion of the engineering school so that, again, Purdue and Indiana and Michigan and Iowa, you know, don't take our lunch money. And, you know, you had Republicans in the legislature just say no and just get rid of it. But it managed to get even worse when Republicans did essentially a symbolic cut to the overall UW system budget because they didn't like something called diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. And you would have thought, okay, okay, fine. You made your point. You don't like DEI programs. But it's still going on, Melissa. You've got Speaker Voss now saying that he's willing to block pay raises throughout the UW system, again, until the UW gets rid of these programs, which I'm sorry. I feel like we're now coming up on this line of, it's one thing if you don't like these programs that are rooted in racial justice. Now I'm starting to wonder to what shade of white nationalism is involved in this war against racial justice. It's getting in the way of the things that we need to train people in the future for climate change and everything else.
It absolutely is. You know, it seems like there is nothing in Wisconsin that they won't threaten or hold hostage in order to, you know, protect their really small beliefs and their opinion that our society only exists for people who look and think like them. And that is something that is holding our state back just from opportunity and being able to move forward. But it's also holding us back in terms of just who we are and who we are at our core, because that's just not what we are in Wisconsin. That's not who we want to be. And to have them attacking these programs and attacking everything else that goes along with higher education because they just don't like this one thing, it's just incredibly disheartening.
Well, it just continues to send that message to our young best and brightest to, you know, you're basically invited to leave the state when you have, in this particular case, Speaker Robin Voss telling WisPolitics he will seek to block pay raises for 41,000 UW system employees unless they, you know, kneel to his demand to dismantle, you know, these DEI programs, is only the latest example of a legislature that likes to claim it's pro-business and pro-job growth, but has so little to show for taking seriously the challenges of the job market in the present day, like the childcare crisis that's out there, and the future, like the School of Engineering and everything else that would go into climate science that could grow our economy.
Exactly. You know, they're just so, you know, so afraid. And I think of losing power. You know, they think that if they, you know, if they really allow us to become a more just and inclusive society, they think that they're going to lose power. And, you know, I just find it so offensive that in so many areas we are squandering our opportunities to make progress, to, you know, move forward, to be a more welcoming place for people, to be the kind of state that people not only want to move to take a job, to go to school, but to stay in, you know, not just come here and, you know, do for, you know, 2, 4, 6 years in college and leave, but come here, start a family, start a business, put down roots and stay. And when we aren't able to invest in the kinds of programs that we need for the future, and we aren't able to, you know, make the values statements that will allow everyone to feel welcome, we're not going to be able to attract people here. We're not going to be able to, you know, have people want to stay.
One of the more uplifting days in the state capitol every year is when students set up tables and they show off their research of what they've been working on over the past, you know, academic year or so. And I always got the, you know, the vibe from that building that even the most cynical lawmakers would walk past or talk to these students and feel really good about what we've created here. If we were to get rid of, say, gerrymandered maps and have a more representative legislature, can we turn the train around that quickly in terms of education rooted toward, you know, some of our future scientific challenges?
I do think that when we're able to get fair maps in Wisconsin again, we will see a lot of changes for the better. You know, when you look at public polling, people in Wisconsin overwhelmingly, for one, believe the climate crisis is real, and two, they're worried about it and they want people to do something about it. People really want to see those investments. They understand that those investments are important. And you know, the only people who don't seem to understand that are, you know, 100 or so Republicans hanging out in the Capitol in Madison.
It just seems that if we want to encourage our best and brightest, we should be trying to get closer to having some of the best and brightest in our legislature. And we're going to have to save that for another time. Melissa Baldoff, thanks so much for letting us know more about the potential and the challenges that we have to reach it. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
When we come back, we will have today's history lesson, a little music break as well. We will be joined by Melissa Kay from locally grown radio WFHR as we look at some of the notes of the day and find out what's happening on that humble little radio station in central Wisconsin. And then plenty in our second hour about National Voter Registration Day. That's all ahead here on Up North News Radio. Stay tuned.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 84 for a high this afternoon. The wind from the south at 5 to 15. And we do have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thundershower late this afternoon into this evening. Maybe one or two here across the region, but that's it. Tonight, 58. Tomorrow, sunshine, 81. We are tracking a system that could bring measurable rain by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Sugar. Oh, honey, honey. This, of course, is the Archies. And there is a special group of late baby boomers, early Gen Xers, who just right away, this makes a connection with them of Saturday morning cartoons. Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, is with us this morning, as she is every Wednesday. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good.
Yeah?
It's morning.
It's morning. You're home.
Still. Still. Yes.
Still.
Stuck here.
Oh, well, I had my COVID shot day before yesterday and flu shot same day. Okay. Boy, did it kick my butt last night. But, you know, I woke up fine this morning. Just went to bed really early last night. But kind of woke up and it's like, well, you know what? I'm not on a ventilator, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've caught some wicked cases of influenza. And I'm doing whatever I can to never go back there again.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
So hopefully the sickies in your house are going to be better soon. And
yes.
That you can get out and about.
We're making progress. At least it's nice outside enough to walk outside. So that's good.
There you go. So when I mentioned Saturday morning cartoons, now for me in that early to mid 1970s, you had the Archies, and we've talked about Schoolhouse Rock a million times, and, you know, Bugs Bunny and the Roadrunner and all of that. When you think of Saturday mornings and TV, what comes to mind?
Trying to get up early enough that my parents didn't know we were awake, and keep the TV low enough that they didn't hear it so that we could watch the cartoons, because as soon as we got caught, we got in trouble. But
oh no.
It was like Gargoyles and Super Duck. What was that? Yeah,
was it I know there was a Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing Duck, that's
okay,
it.
Okay, there we go. Okay. See, ours was much more upbeat. We had the bubblegum rock of the Archies singing to us. Let's play a little more Jim Croce here. This is Operator that you're going to be hearing. Again, just remembering that he and others were killed in that Louisiana plane crash on this day in 1973. Also on this day in 1973, Billie Jean King beat Bobby Riggs in the Battle of the Sexes tennis match at the Houston Astrodome. Again, I know that's not in your wheelhouse, but I was of an age to know that was a big deal. And that this wasn't like some show, in the sense that when Bobby Riggs and other men were getting set up for this, this was rooted in a time where, I mean, it was just known that, you know, no woman could beat a man at anything. And I mean, honestly, how do you think Serena Williams would do now competing against most of the men? Other than handing them their butt and saying, see you later, you know?
Yeah.
It was a different world back then. And Billie Jean King, I mean, that was a huge, huge step for women.
You go, girl.
The Bay City Rollers on this day in 1975 made their appearance on the debut of Howard Cosell's ill-fated Saturday night TV show on ABC, where appropriately they were performing this hit, Saturday Night. A lot of people don't know that when Saturday Night Live launched, you know, it was a complete gamble. Nobody knew it was going to be if it was going to be big or not. Nobody predicted it was going to be around this long. And so ABC tried to counter program with Howard Cosell hosting a variety show. And well, that's not around. Neither is Howard, unfortunately. But Saturday Night, the song is still with us. So we got that going for us. I didn't say it was a good thing, Melissa. I just said we still have SATURDAY Night.
Yes, we do.
Where are you on Game of Thrones? Watched it? Read it? Neither?
No. No. I tried to listen to the audiobook. I couldn't get very far into it before I was like, yeah, no.
I would like to note that the author of that series, George R.R. Martin, is 74 years old today and hasn't put out new book in, how many years has it been now? 12 years, something like that. George, finish the books already. He's got two more to owe us, and we're still
waiting.
Not to
send any ill wishes, but you may be running out of time, dude.
I know. Let's step it up here, Georgie. All right. Meghan Trainor had the number one hit on this day in 2014.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all
and
about
this
that bass,
stayed at the number one spot no for trouble. 8 weeks in a row. It had knocked Shake It Off by Taylor Swift off the top of the charts. I know my wife is a big Meghan Trainor fan, likes
Me too.
To bebop around to that, and has she has a new CD. I don't know, what do we call it now? Do we call it a CD, an album? What? Compilation?
A new album. I think you can call it an album.
Okay. And you can keep Meghan Trainor up underneath here while we talk about the last couple of things here, Sam. We've got Gary Cole turns 67 today. Now, if I say Gary Cole, you might not recognize the name. But he has such a wide range. Whether he was the vice president in the West Wing, where he was brilliant, or he was one of the sportscasters in Dodgeball. Where he was brilliant. He's been in The Good Wife. He's been in Veep. He's been in NCIS. He was a central figure. He was the dad in Talladega Nights, The Legend of Ricky Bobby. And, of course, one of the bosses in the classic movie Office Space. Hmm. I mean, for a guy who's not a household name. He's been in everything, and everybody has something, whether it's comedy or drama, where they go, this guy's really good, you know? And
that's
honestly,
the kind of career you want.
It is. And I've loved all of these different roles. But seriously, if I could just rewatch the first couple seasons of The West Wing, where he was vice president, he was just really good in there.
I like that show a lot.
Yeah. And one more note, this day in 2017. So it's been 6 years now since Hurricane Maria made landfall in Puerto Rico as a powerful Category 4 hurricane, resulted in about 3,000 deaths. And President Donald Trump showed up at the time and threw paper towels to the crowd, and it was a thing back then, and Puerto Rico is still trying to recover from that. Melissa, are we still trying to name a chicken up there at WFHR?
Yes, our contest is going strong. We're giving away shirts as much as we can. I still got to send you yours.
Yes.
You haven't sent me your sizes yet. And
go big or go home. It'll shrink.
But yeah, wiscountry.com/chicken. Put in your top three picks. They're pouring in, and time's running out. You got till the end of next week.
Do you guys talk about some of the names that have come in, or are you afraid of influencing things? And so
we haven't gotten to see any of them yet.
Oh,
we hear from Rebecca, who sees the names coming in because it's on our Civic Media site, so we don't have control over it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we get to hear that they're great.
But you don't know.
Don't know.
And you don't have a favorite, or you probably wouldn't want to talk about it because you wouldn't, you know.
I don't want to influence the audience.
But yeah. Do you have your own personal nominee, or have you just been leaving it to the listeners?
You know, we've had a couple come in that are cute. I prefer like the old-fashioned Victorian female names like Henrietta.
Oh,
Chicoletta. You know, something like that. Yeah.
Okay. I gotcha. All right. Well, good. Well, you got to the end of the month, folks. So get involved in that. Melissa Kay from locally grown radio, WFHR. Hear more from the gang coming up in just a little bit. Thanks, Melissa. Have a great day.
You too, Pat.
When we come back, we're going to talk all about getting registered to vote and why so many groups are taking part in voter registration activities this week. We'll be back. You're up north.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.